Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Have noted here in the bulletin, this is the second Sunday after Pentecost, and we're learning just a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does in our life. Now, as we have learned that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God gives us the Bible, and the King James says the earnest of the Spirit, and that is, how many of you know what earnest money is? You want to buy a house, all right? And you want to take it off the market so nobody else can buy that house. So what do? You give the owner of that house some earnest money, don't you? That's not full payment, is it?
No,
but it means that you're serious about it and you're coming back. You're coming back to get that house. And so the Holy Spirit is God's earnest. He's given us the Holy Spirit as that earnest money, so to speak, to reassure us that He's coming back for us. Amen? And so we have that Holy Spirit that all of us have. We've learned about the fruit of the Spirit. We've learned about the gifts of the Spirit. And all of these are things that God is able to work through us as we purpose to fellowship in Him. Amen? You know, Terry and I have watched this program on it's a series, and it's about this family in Alaska. And it's interesting. I think there's 9 children, are there, Terry? A mom and a dad? And
no, there's
7 children, okay. So there's 9 in the family. There we go. That's where I was getting the number 9. And it's interesting that they have, mom and dad are originally from Texas. But way back in the early 70s, they said, Texas is getting too crowded for us. And so they decided to go to the one state that was less crowded than Texas, and so they went to Alaska. And so all of their children have been born up there in Alaska, and they've grown up, and now they have children that are in their, I think, early 30s, don't they? But late 20s? The oldest is 30. And it's interesting, they have the strangest accent. And everybody's trying to figure out, where did they get this accent? Why do they talk that way? Well, the reason they talk that way is because they live out in the wilderness. They don't live with anybody else. And they just pick up on each other's little waves of speaking. And it's become their own little microcosm accent. Amen? Because that's all they do, is they spend all their time together. Well, what happens when we become believers and we start spending time with Jesus, when we start fellowshipping in the Holy Spirit, we're going to start taking on the qualities of God. Amen? And so the fruit of the Spirit is what happens to us when we just spend time with God. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, long-suffering. Where does all this come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. That's right. And so there's all these things that we're learning about that we have received as believers, and God has given us the earnest of the Spirit in our lives. And so what I'd like to do today is, we're in Romans chapter 6, and before we get to Romans chapter 6, we want to see that in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14, it says that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has offered Himself up to God. And so the salvation that we enjoy even today was accomplished through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit offering Himself up to God. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit isn't just some power, some entity out there, some force like in Star Wars, but the Holy Spirit is someone who is active in our lives. And, you know, it's interesting as I see my two granddaughters and my youngest one, of course, the only one in the family who's named after me, Lillian August. She is the sweetest little thing when she wants to be. However, her normal state of existence is she can be a little terror. And it's so funny because her older sister will be walking through the house and Lillian is there, "Sissy, sissy, hey sissy," and picking at her and pinching her and kicking her, and if she gets a chance to bite her or whatever. And she just, you know, she's just there, and Elizabeth is going to try to ignore her until she just can't be ignored anymore. Little Lillian refuses to be ignored. Well, you know what? That's kind of like the relationship that the Holy Spirit has with us. And that the Holy Spirit is there not pinching and biting and tickling or whatever, making a pest of itself, but we kind of go through life just acting like the Holy Spirit isn't there until we come to a place in our lives when we need Him. And then we turn to Him. And so that's why we're going through this little this study during the season of Pentecost to find out what the Holy Spirit means to us. And so let's go ahead and go to Romans chapter 6. And verse 1, "Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him, for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives, he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Amen? And so, and then I just got through reading the foundation for that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, that it was Jesus through the Holy Spirit who accomplished all of this. And so, what we're talking about this morning is a life where we are no longer slaves to sin, where we are no longer slaves to sin, and the example that God gives us is in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so the first thing that Paul is dealing with here in Romans chapter 6 is that we do not sin so that there can be more grace in our lives. And what has happened? Let me explain to you, because you're just going to shake your heads when you hear this. There were a bunch of Christians back then, those silly Christians back then. I mean, I'm so glad we have the Bible today, because we know better today, don't we? But those silly Christians back then, they said, you know, we want more of God's grace in our lives. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sin. And so because we sin, then God will give us more grace in our lives. Have you ever heard of such a thing? There are still churches today who teach the same thing. We sin so that we can have more of God's grace in our lives. Well, Paul addressed this 2,000 years ago. He says, "Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be." Or God forbid, as it says in the King James language. We don't sin so that we can have more of God's grace in our lives. We have more of God's grace in our lives so that we don't sin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. And then Paul asks this very simple question. If we are dead to sin, why should we still live in sin? Amen? Amen. Now there was a person who they had been out all morning and they had been working and they laid down in their bed and their wife came to get them and shook them and whatever and shake and he wouldn't wake up. What's going on here? And she got real frantic and she went and got somebody and will you, you know, come my husband, he won't wake up. And so that person went in there and for some reason, as soon as he touched him, the guy woke up. Hey, what are you doing here? And so I don't know really what happened in there, but all I know is that his wife was shaking him and yelling and wake up. And you know what? If you are, maybe this person was just a real sound sleeper. I don't know. But if you are dead to sin, then sin doesn't have any more control over you. Amen? I mean, when you are dead, that puts an end to your senses towards anything, let alone sin. And so Paul is saying, first of all, we're dead to sin. And then he goes on to explain why. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And when I baptize people, I use Galatians 2:20. For I've been crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. You see, folks, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we died spiritually. And our baptism, which is a picture of what happens to us spiritually when we get saved, our baptism, we're buried with Christ, we're dead. How many of you have ever seen anybody get back up out of the grave? No? We had a very precious daughter of a friend of ours pass away, and in their denomination, they camp outside the grave for 40 days, just in case they rise again from the dead. And I ask them, has anybody ever come back? No. But they're just going to camp out there just in case, all right? But you don't come back from the dead. And that's why the Bible says that our baptism is a picture of exactly what happens to us when we get saved. We are buried with Jesus in baptism. We're dead and gone. But did Jesus say, stay dead and gone? No, he didn't, did he? But through the Holy Spirit, he was raised up alive. And Paul is saying right here that in verse 4, that so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Guess what? The old us is gone, dead, and buried. But now there's a new us that's walking around, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, loved by God, and we are now living a new life. We're accomplishing new things. And so we're going to skip down to verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. We're dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So this word that he uses there, consider yourselves. We have to make a decision. The word means you must make this determination in your heart. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to live your life for? He says, you make that determination. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so I thank God that he has given us a fellowship of believers who have decided, you know, I'm not going to live like the rest of the world. See, you've made that consideration. You've made that determination already. We don't live like the rest of the world. Why? Because we've determined that we're dead to sin. Amen? And we've determined now that the life that we live, we're going to live to the glory of God. Amen? And that's why so many folks in this church are using their lives, dedicating their time to share God's love wherever we may be. Now, I'm not with you all the time. You need to be happy that pastor doesn't spend more time with you. Everybody have to be on their best behavior because the pastor is here. All right? But I just know that I know that I know with all my heart that as you have a chance to interact with other people, you can be a mean old rascal and say hurtful things, or you can choose to be alive to God in Christ and say and share the goodness of God. Amen? When we open up the doors tomorrow, isn't it? Food ministry is tomorrow. When we open up those doors, some of us are in here, some of us are out there. You know what? If you're not in here helping with the food ministry, and you're saying, you know, there's just not enough room for me, or I can't stand, or whatever, you can be helping with the food ministry because you can be in line waiting to get some food. And while you're in line, just the perfect opportunity, while you're in line waiting to get some free food, you can say to the person next to you, you know, I just wanted to share with you this morning that God loves you. Or I guess it would be this afternoon, wouldn't it, since the food's at 4. Okay. I just wanted to share with you this afternoon, while we're sitting here waiting for Carolyn to say, open up those doors and let the first 2 in. All right. While we're waiting, I just want to share with you that the reason that we're doing this is because our church loves each and every one of you in Jesus. Amen. How hard is that? But you see, we've given our lives to Him, so we live our lives for Him. Amen? So, Father God...
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.